The message that I'm bringing this morning is called Navigating Rival Kingdoms, something I preached at Cape Town a while ago. And yeah, I think maybe before we jump into too much about it, I want us to open it up with a bit of talking with each other. So I have a question. I think Nas said that you guys talk to each other as well, so I thought if by two or three by three, we can spend some time. I have a question that I want us to discuss together. And it's the question, or what I want each one of you to discuss, can be quite a deep one, but I guess going into the new year is not a bad one to think about. But this, describe the following in the 5 or 10 years time in your life. So I guess that's a bit past the next season. Sometimes we think about what's the next step, the next 3 to 5 years, but I almost want you to just experiment and imagine, or where do you hope to be, or so what do you want to be in 5 to 10 years time, what do you want to do in 5 to 10 years time, and what do you want in 5 to 10 years time? A few different angles just to think of it. And I'm actually going to give you about 5 minutes just to discuss with each other, that 2.5 minutes if you're two persons, otherwise split it up in that time. But yeah, you guys can start. I'm going to put the clock here on my side, and then yeah, share a bit. What do you want to be in that time? What do you want to do then? And what do you want to have by that time? Time starting now. Then the next one. This is good just to discuss afterwards, even further over a coffee or over a braai. But then the next one is maybe just I'll describe the role of a following in your life in the 5 to 10 years time. What role would community or fellowship play in your life? Other Christians, what do you think the role of God and His voice in your would play in your life at that time? And what would the Word, the Bible, what role would it play in your life? So I'm going to give you 1.5 minutes each, or 3 minutes to discuss that. Awesome. Oh, great. Do continue with this, like I said, over a braai or whatever. It's really great just to chat about that. My sermon's name, Navigating Rival Kingdoms, yeah, it speaks to just the idea of navigating life and how we navigate that. And I'm not an artist, but I sometimes draw 2D pictures, and I've included one for you this morning. I think in the next slide is just a picture that I saw is, I think for most of us following Christ, we want our lives to be Christ-centered, to be focused on Christ, and we want to follow Him. And I think many times we obviously want to renew our minds, and we want to know the truths, and we intellectually accept a lot of those truths that the Bible teaches us and that we hear about. But sometimes our lives can be structured in such a way, our environment, our society is structured sometimes in such a way that it doesn't point to Christ. Our workplaces or how things are structured, it's not always encouraging us to point to Christ. And over time, that also forms desires in our hearts and just the way we go about our life that doesn't necessarily focus on Christ. And over time, that picture there's people on a raft and Christ the cross on a raft. And over time, it's almost like these streams that slowly you drift away. And over time, suddenly you're quite further away than you thought you are. And just to continually recalibrate our hearts and just bring awareness to where are we going in our lives, what are we dreaming about, and that is basically what today's sermon is about. So I think an example that these days most of us know very well is a GPS. This morning I had to put in the destination in the GPS, and I'm so thankful for GPSs because I think it has helped me and my wife a lot. I think if we had to still have maps, I think there would have been more opportunity to practice how to navigate through disagreement than there is now in our marriage, although we still do get those opportunities even though we have a GPS, and that's mostly me most of the time. But not many of us would climb into a car and just start driving without knowing where we are going, right? Maybe if you once off, you just want to go on a road trip. But generally, we climb into a car, we know what our end destination is going to be. But so many times in life, we would go on in life without really knowing where we are going. We might hope that things work out, but by God's grace, there's definitely place for that. But sometimes we just hope that we throw ourselves to circumstances and we hope it works out. But the thing many times is in life, although we might not be aware where we are going, many times it's the desires of our hearts that actually form that GPS, if you like, that GPS coordinates. So just like with a GPS, you set in the coordinates, and once you've done it, you can almost be on autopilot. You can start listening to music, you can listen to the radio, to sermons, and you can almost relax. And in the same way, many times we have these desires in our hearts where we actually want to go and end up, and we would make decisions based on that in our lives as we go through the different phases in our lives, from young working to married to having children, and as it goes on. And for instance, this morning in Cape Town, I climbed into the car, put the GPS coordinates to Brackenfell. But if, for instance, I wanted to go to Paul, it would have suited me up till I got to the turnoff here at the Okavango turnoff. And many times we think we go along with life because, I mean, for many of us, we come from a Christian background, a Christian culture, so it's fitting for us to go with our subcultural stream, if you like, to be Christian. And somewhere in our life, suddenly we come to a turnoff and we realize, okay, actually this is what's tugging my heart. And if things happen really quick, we take the turnoff and we end where we actually wanted to end in the first place. And I have a picture on there of forgot what's the English for that now, but oasis in the desert. And I mean, if you look at that, there's a lot of obviously desert around it. It's a parched place. There isn't any water. And they say you get things like mirages when you go there because you have this desire to see water. And in the next picture, that is what they say mirage actually looks like. So you can, from far, it almost looks like water. It's also a bit of the light denting it, but obviously you see what you want to see, and if you've been in the desert for a while, that's where you're gonna go. But the thing is, once you get there, you realize it wasn't that from the start. And that's many times the thing in our lives. We have these desires that we long for. And it's not necessarily bad desires. Many times it's gifts from God. but it becomes ultimate things in our lives that we chase after, that we use to make decisions. When you're making a decision, you base it off your priorities. And many times we would have these things in our heart that sometimes we're not really even aware of. We just think that is how it is. That is my desire, and I go according to that. And it's good then to realize that for all of us, and maybe I should have said this earlier, but I like how Angus Bachan puts it. He always says that he's one beggar showing another beggar where to find food. So this is a bit of a straight word maybe, and when I'm saying it, I'm not saying any of this from a place of perfection or having done this all perfectly or all of that. I'm with you in this and going through this, these truths. So obviously the first thing of the gospel is everyone falls short of the glory of God. All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. And we need to realize that our intentions, our heart's desires comes from us. So obviously that is also not inherently good. We can't just think because it's our heart's desire, we can trust it and give ourselves to it without testing it. So no one is inherently good, and neither is our intentions or our heart's desires, if you like. Jesus said it in Mark 10 verse 18, that call no one good, only the Father is good. When a teacher asked him, he said, no one is good except God alone. And Romans 3 verse 23 that I mentioned says it so beautifully, that we ourselves, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. So if we ourselves have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, how not much more our intentions and our passions? And I mean, these days, from a general point of view, it's all about following your passions and giving yourselves to it. And it's, again, it's not necessarily bad, but just because it comes from our heart. Jeremiah 17 verse 9 says it so beautifully. For heart is deceitful above all things and desperately sick. Who can understand it? So just because it's our heart, it's not just a case of follow your heart. We need to align ourselves with what the Word of God says. And Proverbs 3 verse 7 says, be not wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and turn away from evil. And in that sense, evil is taking our own lives, which Christ paid a price for, and then just doing with it what we want. And Proverbs 14 verse 12 says, there's a way that seems right to a man, but its end is the way to death. There's a way that seems right to a man, but its end is the way to death. In many ways, Western cultures opens up so much opportunities for us, and that has primarily actually been driven by Christians through the ages. That's what sets our society in that sense apart. But because of our sinful desires, it also has become a thing to do what you want at all cost. You have to have it your way. And it's ironic that even because of that perceived freedom of being able to do whatever you want, especially in the Western world, because we're not necessarily in survival mode, it's easier to get a lot of things these days. Mental illness and things are also much more prevalent, or at least in that sense in a day. So even though the Western society gets so much, is focused on a consumer mentality, it brings so much sorrow with it. And it just speaks to that Proverbs that says, there's a way that seems right to a man, but its end is death. And if we are kings of our own lives, if we take control of our own lives, it doesn't mean it will always turn out for the good. So not everything that you desire or want is good for you. Not everything you desire or want is good for you. Now I want to ask you, what is it that you are suffering or paying a price for? I mean, anything worthwhile in life is going to cost you. They have a saying in business where they say, whatever business you want to start, make sure it's worthwhile, because any business is going to take a lot of energy, it's going to require a lot from you. And that's obviously the same with life. somewhere along the way there's going to be sufferings. Whether you serve God or don't serve God, there's going to be suffering. You're going to pay a price for something. The only thing is it going to end in life, or is the way of that end death? And that's why we need to revisit and check, but what is our hearts actually desiring? What is it that you are really seeking? And I think we're very privileged these days to have access to great Bible teaching, and that's amazing and so necessary. But sometimes Rick Rousseau says that the distance from our head to our heart is very far away, and we can know something theoretically, but our hearts can be quite removed from it. And especially these days where society is quite intellectual, it's about reading more, getting more info, and we consume it, and we do the same with the Bible sometimes, and it stays separate from our hearts. So we can know the truth and we can watch the latest sermon of everyone, but that doesn't mean our hearts are changed or that we are changed through that. And we need to look what is tugging at our hearts. So some examples that sometimes general is things like our desire for success. Again, none of these things are bad or evil, and it's many times gifts from God, but our desire for success, our desire in providing for our children. I mean, that's good. The Bible commands us that we should do that. But if that becomes ultimate, in terms of if we think of these things as our ultimate end, our GPS that we set in, then we might miss God in stages of our life. We might decide, no, I can't see how God is going to provide for my children. I'm going to provide for my children myself. I'm going to work hard. If God wants to provide, He would have done it by this time. So, and in that sense, we drift along with God and the church and the community, but at some time, if it doesn't make sense for us, we just follow our heart. A desire for a nice home. I mean, in Cape Town, something like grass is sacred, because there isn't grass. I mean, it's like, where do you, if you can just get a small piece of grass, fake grass, it doesn't matter. Any grass is almost sacred, because we obviously have smaller spaces. And that becomes something, especially if you've grown up somewhere where there was a lot of space. I mean, who wouldn't want our children just to play in open areas, even better on a farm? And again, amazing things. But if those are the things that start to dictate how our steps would go, then we're no longer following God, but we're starting to follow our own desires. Desire for husband and wife, again, a good thing, but if that becomes an ultimate desire for us, we tend to sometimes, yes, it's great to come to church until we find our husband and wife, but once we find them, now, I mean, our desire is met, so now we can go on to our next GPS point. Desire for career that is respectable. I mean, generally we all want to be respected for what we do. Doing good things, that can become our ultimate end. And obviously becoming financially independent, freedom, perceived freedom at least, to just do what you want. And if you work hard for it, then you can get it, and then you can relax. And again, that can become an end destination for us, where we, at least sometimes we think, just for this season, I'm just going to pursue this. I mean, what harm is it going to do if I just get into it for 3 to 5 years, and I'm sure somewhere I'm just going to check in with God again, and then everything would be fine. But the thing is, these things form our hearts over time. And in the next slide, I mentioned that our hearts are the existential chamber of our loves. So basically, the things we love, the desires, it's in our hearts. And that is what we follow. And it is our loves that orientate us to an ultimate end, or I think it's a Greek word there, telos, goal. So we were made by God to pursue things. We weren't made just to exist but not do anything, create things. It's part of our God-given mandate to create and to manage and things. So it's a wonderful gift. But it in itself cannot become the ultimate end that we pursue with our lives. And I think the thing is, these things can sometimes become an ultimate end to us. And this telos is what they call the idea of a good life. Again, it's not in only a consumeristic way that I'm saying it, but that which we pursue. Our idea of a good life, that 5 to 10 years that we're describing, that's maybe our idea of the good life that we're going to pursue. And then the next slide, I have a picture. So we have this idea of a good life. I mean, and maybe we're busy with activities now on the side. We're entertaining God with it, going to church, coming together as believers, all that. But in our hearts are actually pointing to whatever we feel is a good life. So then the next slide, we see our hearts get tugged by that which we see as the ultimate end, the good life, that which we are pursuing. So in our heads, we can think, I'm a Christian, I'm doing Bible school, but in our hearts are actually pursuing other things, and we know it's maybe the right thing to do a few spiritual activities, but in our hearts, is it our desire to seek God and to have fellowship with His community, the believers, and spend time in His Word over 5 to 10 years' time? So it's about stewarding our hearts and our loves, those desires, and that's sometimes the gap between what we know and what we do. Because we might know what is the right thing to do, but our heart's desires point into a different direction. And again, there we see it in Proverbs. There's a way that seems right to a man, but its end leads to death. So we need to protect our hearts, as Proverbs 4 verse 23 says, keep your heart with all vigilance, for from it flows the springs of life. We need to tend our hearts, and we need to do that. And a big thing with just recalibrating our loves is by our habits, and that what we do, because that what we do over time also has an influence on our heart. So I just have a small video. Some of you might have seen it previously, just about how we spend our time. And Stephen, if it's, you can skip to that one and we can just watch that.
Imagine this rope. Okay, pretend this rope just goes on forever. Now imagine that this rope is a timeline of your existence. You just exist forever. You see this red part? This would represent your time on Earth. You've got a few short years here on Earth, and then you've got all of eternity somewhere else. And what blows me away is some of you, all you think about is this red part. All you think about, you're consumed with this. You go, oh man, I can't wait till here. You know, I'm going to work hard. I'm going to save so I can really enjoy this part right here. And you're consumed with that. And you're thinking, oh man, am I going to get to travel? Am I going to eat well? Am I going to do this during this part? And I'm like, are you kidding me? What about this? What about that? What about all this stuff? It's crazy to me because the Bible teaches that what I do during this little red part determines how I'm going to exist for millions and millions and millions of years forever. And so why would I spend this little red part trying to make myself as comfortable as possible, enjoying myself as much as I can? Paul says, look, I'm going to live my life for this mission. I'm going to spend my life, invest my life for this moment when I cross that finish line. See, I'm going to forget about all this stuff I could enjoy, and I'm not going to look around. I'm going to be like a runner just looking at that moment when I face God, because when I face Him, then I don't get this chance over again. We get one chance at this life on earth, and it can end at any second for any of us. We've got one chance at this, and then comes eternity. And you see, people look at some of my decisions and go, oh, you're so stupid because that's going to really affect this. I go, no, you're stupid because it's going to affect all of this. Man, I'm serious. I look at the way people live and I go, wow, that is so crazy. You are so crazy. You're going to do that right now. Just enjoy right now. Not even knowing if you have tomorrow, and you think that's smart and that I'm dumb?
Thanks. You know, I mean, we see from that video just, I mean, time is short. We only have so much time in our lives, and what are we going to spend our passions and our desires on? And we have a responsibility in that. Keep your heart with all vigilance, because from it flows the springs of life. And like that picture shows, what our heart is focused on, that is the kingdom that we are pursuing. I mean, Jesus spoke about this parable in Matthew 13:44. He says, "The kingdom of heaven is like a treasure in a field, which a man found and covered up, and then in his joy goes and sells all he has, and he buys that field." And there's a place where we can give up all those desires and bring it to God and say, in joy we give it up so that we can follow him. We don't know how things are going to work out, but in our joy we give up the right of control. For us as Westerners, sometimes we feel we want to understand things before we follow Jesus. We'll say, "Jesus, I'll go, but if you just give me your 5-year plan or your business plan, my life plan laid out so that I can just check that it's going in the right direction." And if we don't get it, then we're hesitant to follow Jesus. But here we see we give that right up, because sometimes God wants to lead us where our understanding can't go. He wants to take our hearts where our understanding can't go. And that requires faith and surrender to him and repentance from that which we have done just with our hearts up till now. Because Jesus says in Matthew 16:25, "For whoever would save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will find it." It's like that mirage. How sad would it be if we thought we're suffering or paying a price for whatever we want to achieve, and then in the end, we lose our lives by trying to save it. And we see Jesus calling us to say, "Whoever loses his life for my sake will find it." I'm just going to read that whole portion for us in Matthew 16 from verse 24. So Jesus there with his disciples saying, "But if anyone would come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me." There's a place where we need to deny ourselves, take up our cross, and follow him. We can't just associate with Jesus. We can't just intellectually spend time doing church activities and hope that is enough and then still pursue our own hearts. We need to surrender to him. For whoever would save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. For what will it profit a man if he gains the whole world and forfeits his soul? Or what shall a man give in return for his soul? Truly I say to you, there are some standing here who will not taste death until they see the Son of Man coming in his kingdom. Last part is a bit of a wake-up call, that for some of us, we get to that day and we've spent our desires and our hearts on other things. There's a place where Jesus is saying we need to choose him, otherwise we'll have death for the rest of eternity. But what is the good news then? It's that Jesus died for us so that we could come to him, and surrendering our lives to follow him, and he gives us eternal life. And Acts 3:19 so beautifully says it, that "Repent therefore and turn back, that your sins may be blotted out, and that times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord." It's a place where we can respond to God and come and surrender that. And it's sometimes like an onion with different layers. We surrender, and then somewhere there's a part in our lives that we realize we haven't surrendered yet. But by the grace of God, through his Son, Jesus Christ, the high priest that has gone before us, we can enter into that place of surrendering to Jesus.